Generating traffic and sales can be a challenge for online merchants. But selling on the Walmart Marketplace puts your products in front of millions of customers who shop on Walmart.com. And right now, sellers who join Walmart Marketplace can save up to 50% on referral and fulfillment fees for the first 90 days. So get started today. Head over to marketplace.walmart.com/savings. That's marketplace.walmart.com/savings. Welcome to E-Commerce Conversations, a weekly podcast from Practical E-Commerce, hosted by entrepreneur Eric Bandholz.
What is going on? Eric Bandholz back again with another E-Commerce Conversations. Hope all is going well on the other side of the internet. On the other side of the internet from me, Alan. What's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great.
Cool.
I'm excited to have
glad
you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you back on the show. For those who don't know, Alan was on the show about a year ago.
Yeah, sounds about right. I think this will be my third time on the show now.
Last e-commerce fuel, we met up in the hotel room and recorded one on the
spot. That's right. Yeah, if I remember right, I was getting ready to take a nap, and then you just snatched me out of the hallway and begged for an interview.
Classic Eric, last minute, I'm like, oh, Alan will be my guy. He hooks me
Kind of why I'm here right now, right?
Yeah. I'm going to Paris for a week, and didn't really have anything in the queue, so I had to line some stuff up before I left, because I didn't want to haul my podcast stuff with me and try to record one while in Paris.
Of course.
But we wanted to talk about something different that I think is a really interesting topic for a lot of entrepreneurs, and it's points, man. And you are the points guy.
Sort of.
In my mind. You're the guy who knows more than anyone else.
There are definitely people who know more than me, but amongst like the e-commerce crew that we hang around, I'm definitely like the most into it. So I don't know everything. Definitely not an expert, but I'm like pretty good. I'm pretty well versed in this. It's been like almost 10 years now that I've been paying attention to points and miles and trying to figure out how to stay out of economy, especially like on international travel. And so I do get a lot of people that come to me asking for tips, and happy to try and help because I know how meaningful it is to be able to lay flat on a business seat when you're on your way to meet suppliers in Asia or whatever.
So for reference, Alan sent me over some show notes before we hit record. For about $1,800 of ad spend, you could get a Dallas to Orlando to TPE. I don't even know what that is.
Dallas to Chicago, so ORD, and then TPE is Taipei, and then HKG for Hong Kong. So Dallas to Hong Kong.
Yeah, Dallas to Hong Kong. With a couple of, is it normally you have to take that many stops to go to Hong Kong? Two stops?
Prior to COVID, no, not at all. So they actually had a direct flight from Dallas to Hong Kong on American Airlines, but then COVID killed a ton of routes, and it's been hard ever since just to get back to Asia, specifically because a lot of the flights direct between the US and China, I think we're only operating at like roughly 40% of the capacity that we were prior to COVID. And so that has jacked up the price of cash tickets to Asia, because everyone's riding through other countries now. And then also it's made it a lot harder to book on points. And so, yeah, especially with April, because that's when all the trade shows are. So everyone is trying to use their points to fly to Asia for the trade shows. And that just makes it harder for everyone else to book.
Yeah. So the math on this, you have 18,000 in ad spend, which for a lot of people, it could be like a week's worth of ad spend.
Yeah.
And then this is using a Amex card that you get 4x spend.
The Amex Business Gold card.
Yep. And then basically, I'm not going to go into all the details because I'll let you do that. But basically, if you compare that to a 2% cashback card, that would have gotten you $365. Or you do the strategy that Alan's doing and you get a $3,000 plane ticket.
Yep, exactly. And so if you have any desire to travel, whether for business or personal, and you're willing to learn a couple of the rules for like how to redeem those points, then yeah, you could lay flat business class from the US to Asia, or you could get just under $400 in cash.
Yeah, and obviously
there's some tricks there. Like you need to be a little bit flexible, ideally.
But, yeah. So let's address those trade-offs. So trade-off number one, you have to kind of book around the cheapest ticket, right?
How do you mean? I don't think I understand.
Well, I mean, you already said it, so I think I just made it complicated. But you just have to be flexible with your schedule. It's not like these are the flights that are constantly available. They're always this price, right?
Got it. So the flexibility comes from a number of things, right? The flexibility comes from, you know, it might be what time you fly out of. So the exact same flight, you know, might be happening in the morning or at night, but the one in the morning is half price or something like that on points. Or you might want to be flexible in like your final destination. So like if you're really trying to get to Barcelona in the summer, there might not be something available that gets you the whole way there. But if you're happy with ending up in Madrid or Paris, there might be something there that's just a fraction of the price of trying to get to Barcelona. And so the flexibility would definitely help open up the possibilities.
So let's give our listeners a quick rundown to what is the strategy like? What is the 35,000 foot view? How do you get a $3,000 ticket for effectively $365?
There are a few things that go into this, but at the high level, airlines, you know, they sell plane tickets, right? And you can pay cash for those tickets, and you could just go to Google Flights or like go to the airline's website and book it that way. But then they have these loyalty programs, like American has the Advantage program, United has Mileage Plus, Air France has Flying Blue. They have these loyalty programs, right? And you can rack up airline miles, and then you can redeem those miles for airline tickets. And you can also get airline miles just by doing regular credit card spend. So you don't even have to fly on those airlines to rack up their miles. You can get their miles by using credit cards. And one of the things that's important to know is that, I'm going to simplify this just a little bit. You have anytime awards. So anytime awards are like, you pick the exact flight that you want on the exact date that you want, and then they're going to quote you a price. And typically it's going to be really, really expensive. So like it might be 200,000 United points to get from New York to Japan, from New York to Tokyo, or from New York to Hong Kong or something like that, it would be 200,000 points. But they have these things called saver awards. And so on many flights, they will designate like a small percentage of seats. So it might be like two business class seats, or it might be four premium economy, or two first class seats if the airline has first class. And they will have a couple of seats that are available at what they call a saver rate, and it might be a lot less. So instead of 200,000 points, it might only be like 80,000 points. And so if you know the rules of the game, you can look for these saver seats, which aren't on every single flight, but on a lot of them. And you can book these awards at a fraction of the price that they would normally cost for like an anytime award.
So why do these airlines have these saver rates? Like it seems like they're just giving away stuff for free. Is it more promotional? Is it like to win customers? Like what is their strategy behind it?
You got me. I have no idea. I sometimes wonder that. Like if they can, there are so many people who don't know about these saver seats that it kind of makes me wonder why they offer them at all. But I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look it up after the show and we'll figure out why.
So you just know you're finding one of these saver seats because it's basically around 80,000 points for a business class style seat or better.
You know, it could be a range of prices. So like the Anytime Awards can be anywhere from like over, let's say like 150,000 points for like a international business flight, 150 to like almost 500,000 points if it's like Delta or Aeroplan. That's the Air Canada program. But then the saver seats can be anywhere between like 35,000 points between the US to Europe, 35,000 points to about 80,000 points if you're trying to get to Asia.
So it's quite a bit cheaper. So the first thing is like your strategy needs to be, what are the cards that you're carrying? Like, do you have to play this game where you have to like every month you get a new card and you get 1,000 or 20,000 bonus miles and then you use that card and then you switch to the next one? Is that something that people have to do? Or can you basically stick to like one or two core cards and be effective that way too?
This is why it's great for entrepreneurs is because you don't have to play that game if you don't want to, of signing up for cards, getting the big sign up offer, and then canceling it and switching between all these different cards to max out the number of points. That's what somebody with like a normal 9-to-5 job might do, because they don't spend the amount of money necessary to like facilitate the whole redeeming points for miles, right? And so they get these big sign-up bonuses, they cancel cards, they sign up for cards, they're checking their credit report, all of that. You do not need to do that as an entrepreneur, and especially not as an e-commerce entrepreneur, because your monthly spend on a credit card, when you factor in ad spend, shipping, SaaS, all of that other stuff, maybe even paying suppliers if they take a credit card, you're spending so much on cards that you don't need to be playing that credit card game where you're just constantly moving between cards and canceling and all that. You could just stick with like 1, 2, maybe even 3 cards and rack up a ton of points just from your regular business spend.
So what are the cards that should be in their consideration?
There are a few for e-commerce entrepreneurs in particular. The Amex Business Gold Card is probably considered the best one. So they recently tweaked that card. I think it only went to effect like last month. But for the longest time, for the last decade, really, it was 4 points on your online advertising and 4 points on shipping. That was the big thing for anyone who did online advertising or shipped physical products. You could just rack up points like crazy. They recently tweaked that card. So this year, instead of 4x on shipping, that's gone. But they did add 4x on software and cloud computing. And so we're only starting to figure out all the different stuff that is qualified for 4 points for every dollar that you spend. But I did take a look at my card before we hopped on. I do know that Klaviyo and ClickUp are getting the 4x. So I wonder if there's other apps out there that we're using to run our stores that might be getting 4x, but it's too soon to tell. We'll know in like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, on their website, it says 4x on your top 2 eligible categories.
Yes. So there are several categories that you could get the 4x point multiplier from. But for people like you and me and anybody who's listening to this, really, it's going to come down to the online ad spend and then the software.
And then you do have an annual fee for this card, though, too. So that's a...
Yeah, I think it's like...
$400. Yeah.
Yeah, $400. But it definitely pays for itself when you can get 4 points for every dollar that you spend. You can definitely start redeeming that for business class international travel, if you so wish, or hotel stays or whatever.
Okay. So Amex Business Gold option.
Amex Business Gold. Oh, one important thing about the Amex Business Gold as well is that you can only get the sign-up bonus once. And okay, so once you get that, that's over. It also caps out. You can only spend $150,000 on the card in a calendar year and get the 4X multiplier on it. But shout out to Paul from BK Beauty. He's the one who figured this out. You can actually just go on the website and apply for a new one every 90 days, and they'll issue you another card. And so you won't get the sign-up bonus on it, but then you'll have a second gold card. And so I know several people now that have between 6 to 10 Amex Business Gold cards. And so they, once they hit the $150,000 cap, they just move to the next card and start earning 4 points for every dollar on that.
So to me, like, this is the biggest, like, disincentive, is like having a whole wallet full of all these credit cards that you got to keep track of. Do they just like shred it after they're done with it? Is that the plan? Or
no, keep the card. Yeah, keep the card. I mean, use a tool like 1Password. That's, you know, you can keep all your credit cards in there, and then you just move from one to the other. So I have Amex Gold 1, Amex Gold 2, Amex Gold 3. I start the year with Amex Gold 1, and then once I see that I've spent $150,000 on online ads with it, then I just move to Amex Gold 2. And then I just don't even use the first card okay. The rest of the year.
And then you just restart every year. Like each card gets restarted. Does that really...
Exactly.
Does it ding your credit, or do the credit limits, are they all the same, or like...
I've not noticed it do like a huge ding. Like most of them are just soft pulls in your credit report. Capital One will pull... They'll do a hard pull on from all 3 credit bureaus. And so you'll get like emails from everyone saying like, oh no, your credit's been looked at and all that. But after 10 years of doing this, I've not noticed anything. But whenever there is a dip, like sometimes it'll dip down and then it just comes right back up like in a couple of months.
So you can get 600,000 points on 150,000 spend on basically ad spend. All right. So Amex business card, one option. What's the next one you should have?
The Chasing Preferred is going to be your next option. And so it's a lot harder to get multiple ones of this card. It is possible. Generally, you need a relationship with the small business banker at Chase, like your local regional banker. But that card gives you 3x points on online ads, and it gives you 3x points on shipping. And so you can still get 3x points on shipping, thankfully. They're just going to be Chase points now, and you're not going to be getting 4 of them. You're going to be getting 3. But Chase is another program to be involved in.
So this is Chase Sapphire. Is that the one? Sapphire
Preferred. The Chase Inc. Preferred.
Chase Inc.
So Preferred. Inc. is a business card. Yeah, Inc. Preferred. And like it typically has like a 100,000 point sign-up bonus. I think it's like a $95 annual fee. 100,000 sign-up bonus, you could do a round-trip ticket from the U.S. to Europe in business class just from the sign-up bonus. And so it's definitely a card worth picking up if you've kind of tapped out on Amex cards.
I don't know if it was Chase or if it was Capital One. I had one of those. And I think we moved address and like one of our invoices got lost in the mail or whatever. And then they instantly just like canceled the account. There was like...
Yeah, I had that happen like 6 months ago. I got a Chase IHG business card. It was like a really good sign-up offer and I couldn't resist. And so I got the IHG business card and I spent a bunch of money on it. And like 3 months later, they told me that it had been canceled. And I called to find out why. And they're like, yeah, we had to verify some business information and we sent you a letter in the mail and you did not respond to it. And I'm like, I did not get that letter and I have 6 other Chase credit cards with you guys. Like nobody called me, nobody emailed, and they're like, sorry. So that's probably what happened to you.
Yeah, so it was a little concerning like from a customer service standpoint. Like Chase didn't
seem for sure
like they really cared about the business. Okay, so that you'll get 3 points on 150K spend for shipping is where you want to use that one. Also advertising too, but you probably want to do the advertising with Amex at the 4X. Okay, what other cards have we got? Or are those the two that...
So that's kind of like your bread and butter for running an online store. Now, there are some other cards as well. I probably should have pulled the notes up before we started this. So you might want to consider looking at a hotel card for the loyalty reasons. So like I have platinum status with Marriott Bonvoy in particular because there's just a lot of Marriotts around. They give you 4 p.m. checkout. You can get upgraded to suites. Sometimes you have to ask, like they won't do it automatically. And then they'll give you like breakfast and stuff. And so you might want to consider getting a hotel card because it makes it a lot easier to get status for when you're traveling and just want a better hotel experience. Specifically the late checkout. It's so nice not having to think about it until like 4 o'clock.
But that's just more like kind of traditional card uses. It's like whatever the loyalty.
Kind of, yeah. Then you have your, oh, well, one more thing. You also should consider getting another card for just any spend that doesn't have a multiplier. So anything not for ads and anything not for shipping or SaaS. So like if you're paying vendors or just anything else that you might need, then you could look at the Capital One has the 2x miles. And so that's just for every dollar that you spend, you get 2 miles on it. So that's really good. And then you could also look at doing the Chase Inc. Unlimited. Not quite as good. It'll give you 1.5 miles for every dollar that you spend.
Okay. And that's just pretty much on everything across the board.
That's anything across the board. And yeah, there's some other like nuances in there. And there's other cards that are worth looking into, like the Amex Business Platinum. That's actually a really great card for business owners, especially if you don't want to learn a lot of the points hacking stuff and you just like going to the travel portal, like on Amex or Chase, which is actually not the greatest way to get value. The Business Platinum is really good for that because they'll give you a 35% rebate when you book that way. So you book the ticket through the portal and then it'll reimburse you 35% on any like business or first class flight.
So why, I mean, like I'm looking at Amex right now and they've got like 100 different cards, right? And yeah. So you have your Business Gold and Business Platinum. Looking at it quickly, there's a $300 fee difference. Is everything else effectively the same or is it the multipliers are different? So it is important to get the gold one versus the platinum one.
Yeah, the platinum one is only 1 point for every dollar that you spend on Facebook ads, for example, but the gold will give you 4 points. And so it's a totally different card with totally different perks. The platinum gives you lounge access. Like if you're at an airport with a Centurion lounge, you can get in there. It'll give you $400 a year in Dell.com credits. So like, I probably need to go to Dell.com right now and buy a better podcast microphone. And so you buy it with the Platinum card, and then it reimburses you $200 every 6 months. You also get a $200 statement credit for airline fees, or you could just transfer that $200 credit to United Travel Bank, and then you just have $200 that you can spend United. It's just like a perk that comes with the card. So the fees pay for themselves.
Okay. So you're getting all these points on these different cards. Is like 1,000 points on Amex the same as 1,000 points on Chase?
Kind of, I guess.
Because effectively, you don't use them in the credit card's travel portal. Like, you transfer them all out, right?
So ideally, most people that I talk to that are coming to look for my advice and stuff, they are typically just booking through the travel portal because it's easy and because that's what they want you to do. That's what Chase and Amex want you to do, because you get the worst value that way. If you learn some of these rules about taking your Amex points and then transferring to airlines or transferring to hotels even, if you transfer to airlines instead, then you can get tremendous value that way. But you don't want to transfer to airlines unless you have a clear goal, because the transfers are only one way. And so if you move a bunch of points from, let's say that you know that you can get a much better deal if you were to book directly on the Air France website, and you transfer your Amex points to Air France, they're stuck in Air France. If there wasn't a flight that was available that you already found, then you're in big trouble, because now they're locked in. Okay. And you're going to have to wait until you can book that flight.
So you have to have an account with Air France, though, right? How do you initiate a transfer? Is it through your Amex card?
So what you want to do is you'll want to open up a loyalty account with the major airlines. And I can give you a list of them. I used to help people with this, and so I have lots of notes on it. Basically, go open up a Flying Blue account. Go open up an American Advantage account or a Live Miles account with Avianca. Or United. All of these airlines have loyalty programs. And so you want to just sign up. It's easy. It doesn't cost anything. You just key in your name, birthday, whatever, email. And then they're going to give you a loyalty account number. You go back to Amex or Chase, and you'll hit partners or transfer to airlines. And then it'll have a list of all of their partners. And then you'll just select one. So like Air Canada Aeroplan, you click on it. And then you just need to sync once. So you give it your account number and name. It's going to sync the accounts, and then you can move Amex or Chase points to the loyalty program. And they typically have a requirement that you do it in 1,000 point increments. So you can't move 500 points over, but you can move 1,000 over.
Okay. So you're effectively doing that. I guess you just have that set up once. And then you find the plane ticket. Where are you searching for these plane tickets by point cost? Are you using Google Flights for that, or are you using a different tool?
Up until about a year ago, we didn't have any good tools for figuring out what seats were available at all. You really had to have like 10 different websites loaded, like the loyalty websites, and do searches on there. And a lot of times, they made it so hard to do. You would actually have to like load 10 websites, do multiple searches using different cities and dates. They might make you look one day at a time. Some websites will let you look like 30 days in advance or something like that. Give you like a 30-day view, and you can see what's available. Other airlines will only show you what's available on that one day that you selected. And then you got to hit next and then wait for that to load. And it could take ages. And somebody came up with a tool. I don't know the guy's name, but there's a tool now that I absolutely love. And I start almost all my searches there, just because if it works, then it works and you're done. If it doesn't, then you're kind of going back to square one. But seats.aero is my new favorite tool, SEATS.AERO. It's a tool. You have a free version, but the paid version is like 10 bucks a month, and it's totally worth it, in my opinion. And basically, they just have like a bot, and it just crawls all the websites that the airlines have set up, and it will find the availability, like what's actually available at that saver level. And what date is it on? How many seats are available? How much are the fees? And then how do you book it? It'll explain all of that right there. But it's not perfect. Doesn't include every airline. I noticed it misses a lot of stuff. And then also, they're currently being sued by Air Canada.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Air Canada is suing them right now. And I don't even know if it's going to last. Like next year, it might look totally different. But as of right now, it works really, really well. And Air Canada is trying to get it banned because they're claiming that it is like a resource hog. Like it's just using up a ton of, what do you want to say? Like it's just constantly crawling their website. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. They don't like it. I think the main reason they don't like it is because it makes it really easy for people to find availability. Whereas previously, only somebody like me would be able to find it because, you know, I have no life and I'm willing to do all these searches online and find that needle in a haystack kind of thing. And these guys are just making it really easy.
Okay. So this is pretty cool. Seats Aero. I'm on it now kind of looking and it just lists everything in terms of miles. And
the way that works is it scans the most popular routes. Yeah, it scans the most popular routes that are requested like every hour or so. And it will tell you like when the flight takes off, how many seats are available, and then it gives you the options on like how to book it.
And then how do I tell like what level this is? If it's like economy or business class or...
Oh yeah, if you do a search, so they have a bunch of different filters. So if you want to do your own search, then you can key in. Typically people would do like the cities and then what date you're trying to do. This thing has a bunch of filters though, and then also some really cool settings. So like you could say, I want to see anything, you know, within 7 days of this particular date. So if you have flexibility, it's cool. So like if I want to travel like on June 1st, but, you know, give or take 3 days or 7 days, you can actually key that in. And then say you don't really care where you end up at all. Let's say you just want to get to Europe for the summer, right? You could actually type in Europe as the destination, and then we'll just select the largest airports in Europe and show you what's available there. So you don't have to pick a particular city. You could just say, show me every single flight that's available on points at a safer level in business class between Asia and America. And it will list all of that out and it refreshes like every hour or so.
Yeah. Can you do it from Texas? I tried Texas.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't tried Texas. Usually I just type in.
They have East Coast. DFW. Yeah. They have East Coast, United States.
Yeah. If you type in ASA, it'll do all of Asia. And then, but you can also do multiple cities. So if you want to do a search originating from Texas, you could just type in DFW, IAH for Houston, AUS for Austin, and it will do searches for all three of those cities.
So if you're like a total vagabond, this is like the best thing ever. Like, here we go.
It's amazing.
On Virgin from Washington to London, a business class, 47,000 points.
47,000 points, but if hover over it and tell me how much the taxes are.
Plus $982.
Way too much money, right? Yeah. And okay. So there are numerous tricks here that ideally people will be aware of, which is like if you're flying to London, the fees are just outrageous. If you're flying to Manchester, not so much. It might be like $100 in fees, but London, suddenly it's like $900.
Yeah, Madrid.
There's all sorts of weird little rules like that.
Yeah, so these fees, like, what are these fees then? They're just booking fees or whatever.
Yeah, they're typically airline fuel surcharges. In the points hacking community, it's also known as YQ, is like the shorthand for it. But these airlines will pass on fuel surcharges. And so ideally, you would book a ticket with an airline whose program does not pass along fuel surcharges. So for example, if you, let me think.
Here we go.
What's an easy way of saying it?
To Frankfurt, 55,000 points on Alaska for $48.
For $48?
And 55,000 points.
Yeah. So they're not passing on the fuel surcharges. Alaska doesn't do that.
Yeah.
United doesn't do it. Air Canada doesn't do it, but some of them do. All Nippon Airways passes on fuel surcharges.
But you said like one of these problems is like getting one ticket, no problem. But if you're flying with your family, then does it get challenging?
It's definitely more challenging if you want to take like a family of five or something like that. So there's a guy near Atlanta that you and I both know in e-commerce fuel, and he wanted to go to Europe for the summer with his kids. But, you know, it's a family of either five or six, I can't recall. And it was a little bit tricky to find five or six business class seats for this guy. We made it happen, but it was definitely a lot harder than if it were just one person that needed to go. And so all I was saying in that note is if you just want one ticket, one business class ticket, brilliant. It doesn't get any easier. But if you suddenly need to take a family of six and you have kids in school, like in public school, and you can only go during winter break or spring break or summer, you're in big trouble because that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So you could get lost on this, like if you're a vagabond, like you can just, you know, oh yeah, now we can go to, like, I just found one.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Charlotte to London, 57,000 points, $18.
Yeah, probably on American, right?
Well, it says Alaska, but underneath it, it does.
AA, Alaska's right? An American partner.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, man.
Yeah, you could do some really crazy stuff too. Like if you just want to do the nomadic lifestyle or whatever, Aeroplan, that's the Air Canada loyalty program.
Yeah, so what is
that's going to be your bread and butter? Aeroplan is the loyalty program for Air Canada, and it's one of the best programs that's out there right now, in my opinion, because they show all of the Star Alliance partners. So there's a couple things to explain. So a lot of people think that if you have American Airlines points or miles, then you can only book it on American Airlines, and that's not true. You can book on the One World partners. So American Airlines is an alliance called One World, and they have a lot of different partners like Cathay Pacific, Japan Airlines, Alaska's in it, Finnair. And so you could book flights on all of those airlines. They're not exclusive to flying on American Airlines metal. That same thing goes for the other airlines. So Air Canada is in the Star Alliance, as is United, and you could book tickets on their respective websites, and you don't have to have a single flight on United to use United points. Air Canada, Aeroplan, back to your point, it's a great program. And so the rates, it's very affordable business class for the most part. So it's, you're looking at between like 60 to 88,000 points to fly to either like Europe or Asia in business class. The website is great. It shows the availability of all their partners. Can't say the same for a lot of the other programs that are out there. It's fast to book it. So you could just do the search, book it easily. And then also the routing is pretty sick. So like for 5,000 points, you could book stopovers. So like you could book a single award ticket from, say you want to go from the US to Europe and then a little further east Europe and then Asia, you could get it all on the same ticket and include a stopover at each city for only 5,000 points. So you're effectively booking just one ticket and you might get like 3, 4, or 5 different cities out of it.
So you're booking it through aircanada.com, but they're using United, yeah. They're using SAS, they're using Air Swiss.
Singapore Airlines, yeah.
Yeah, just all these different airlines to help it make it happen.
Yes.
But the dashboard that you use is aircanada.com.
Yes. And some of these airlines, if you were to book like on United, they're not going to let you have these stopovers. They want to get you to your final destination. That's it. But Air Canada is like, oh yeah, stop, you know, as many times as you want, really. And if you want to fly to Paris and then just chill there for 60 days or whatever, and then move on. I don't know if you could do 60 days. I'm not sure what the limit is, but yeah. And then just move on to another city after that. Then they're totally cool with it. Also, if you have little kids specifically under the age of 2, then, you know, they get to ride with you. They won't have their own seat, but there'll be a lap kid and it costs 10% of whatever the cash fare is. So if it were like, say it's like a really expensive $5,000 ticket on Singapore business class, then they would only charge $500 for the kid to sit in your lap.
Do you have like a URL or a website where you can just like download all these resources? Like you sent me this Notion site, which I think is a great resource. Is that something you can share with the listeners?
Oh yeah, definitely. I should really just have like on my website because I have so many people ask me about this stuff. I never had a resource for it. And so, yeah, I can give it to you. You can put it up on the podcast website or I'll stick it up on my personal website too.
Yeah.
And we'll find a way to link it.
We'll follow Alan on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Alan, A-L-L-E-N, third, T-H-I-R-D. Gotta find a better way. Gotta find a better handle, man. But yeah, Alan Third is my Twitter.
Can you like tweet out a link to the resources and pin it?
So yeah,
they
definitely
come to your Twitter page and then.
Yep, it'll be up by the time this thing airs.
Sweet, man. Yeah, because I feel like we can talk so much more and there's like a lot more nuance. I feel like we're just on the edge or the tip of the iceberg when it comes to like leveraging airline points and credit card points for inexpensive travel.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of rules to the game. A lot of people aren't willing to learn it. I found out about it like 10 years ago on a different podcast, and it just really opened my eyes. I never thought I'd leave the US. Never thought I'd be in first class, but I've done it a bunch. Not lately because I had kids and now I just want to be at home and hang out with them. But being able to arrive rested in Hong Kong and work the trade shows and meet your suppliers, like, I'm not sure I would have done that if the points thing weren't around.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Well, this has been another e-commerce conversations. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. I learned a ton, and I fear that I may be spending like the next 10 hours of my life on seats.aero looking for good deals to get and signing up new credit cards and stuff like that. Thank you, Alan. Cheers.
You bet, man. Yep.
And keep on growing.